Well, Merry Christmas. We've been enjoying Christmas at the movies, and last week Eric reminded us from The Grinch that selfishness isn't fulfilling, that we can change. And The Grinch's heart grew three sizes, and Christ can change us even more than that. So today we'll draw some lessons from the 2003 Christmas favorite, Elf. If you haven't seen the movie Elf, it's the fictional story of a baby boy at an orphanage who crawls into Santa's bag of gifts as Santa's delivering presents. And the little boy isn't discovered until they're back at the North Pole, where Santa then appoints an elf to raise young Buddy. And Buddy figures out eventually that he's different from the other elves, and he's a human. And so this kind-hearted, overgrown elf sets out for the harsh demeanor of New York City in search and attempting to locate his biological father. Will Ferrell's character, Buddy the Elf, faces adversity, uncertainty, and rejection, but never loses his zest for life and his willingness to think the best about others. He demonstrates this indomitable spirit of joy that would serve us well, not just at Christmas, but throughout the year. So what I want us to see today is a simple but a profound lesson. I want you to remember that life doesn't have to be perfect to have joy. We all want a perfect life, a perfect weight, perfect hair, perfect job, perfect kids, perfect dog. And it doesn't always work out that way. Our world is broken, it's flawed, it's fallen. It's a planet that was designed to be perfect. That's why we have this inner gnawing for perfection. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, God has placed eternity in our hearts. That's why we want things to be perfect, but that won't be satisfied fully until eternity. In the meantime, here on earth, life doesn't have to be perfect to have joy. And God's Word has three reminders for you this morning. And the first is, joy is a decision in spite of difficulties. And Buddy the Elf remained perpetually positive. He would think the best of others. He would give the benefit of the doubt. And Buddy made a decision to focus on the good, not the bad. And that's much like the first Christmas and Mary's response. Joy is a decision that Mary made. In Luke 1:46 begins Mary's song. We sang it this morning. My soul magnifies the Lord. And Mary faced her adversity, the adversity of an unplanned pregnancy, plus the loneliness of having no one believe her story about carrying God's son. She was young, probably about 14. Her due date was surrounded by difficult timing, difficult travel up a rugged road in order to be taxed, but still she chose joy. Joy is a decision in spite of difficulties. I'd like for you to turn to the book of Philippians, a New Testament book laced with references to being joyful. And yet it was written under very difficult circumstances, actually from a prison cell. And so the Apostle Paul chose joy. He made that decision that he would choose to be joyful. So follow along in your Bible or on your phone or on the screen as I read from Philippians 4, starting in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Life doesn't have to be perfect to have joy, but it may require that you adjust your attitude. Instead of worrying, the command is to release your concerns to God in prayer. Let Him provide tranquility despite turbulence. Choose joy. And remember, joy is a decision despite difficulties. And the second reminder for us today is that joy is a discovery gained when serving. There's this false belief that we will be happiest when looking out for old number one, taking care of self, putting our needs ahead of others. But earlier in Philippians, back in chapter 2, verse 4, Paul coaches us to the contrary. He said, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Joy is a discovery gained when serving. That's why it's such a rush to go on a mission trip or to volunteer or to assist a motorist in need, to take the focus off of self and place it on serving another's need. In Elf, Buddy lived out that eagerness to serve others. Watch this clip.
This is really something. I'm usually the one making breakfast. That's good. That's good. Oh, that's good.
Good?
Good.
Good.
So did you sleep okay last night?
Great. I got a full 40 minutes. And I had time to build that rocking horse.
Oh my gosh, you actually made that? Where did you get all the wood?
Well, in Mark chapter 12, verse 31, Jesus revealed the second commandment. It was to love your neighbor as yourself, to take the focus off of yourself, to see those around you who have a need, who are hurting, who are grieving, who are in pain. While I was in grade school, I attended Whitewater Christian Camp in Vivy, Indiana. And it's been nearly 50 years ago, but I remember a lesson taught one night at a Vesper service. I stopped on my way to the Vesper area at the canteen and bought a Zero candy bar and a Tiger Red cream soda. And I took my seat on the wooden bench beside the lake as the dusk was filled with the deep guttural calls of bullfrogs, and the air was permeated with off bug spray. And the speaker that night was Joe McKay. He got up and he taught a lesson of how to have joy in life. And he used this memorable acrostic. He said, if you want joy, the J reminds you to put Jesus first. The O reminds you to put others second. And the Y reminds you to put yourself last. And that's still true for us today. Buddy's brother Michael was embarrassed by Buddy. And when Buddy came to pick him up at school, Michael acted as though he didn't know who Buddy was. On their way home, they're talking when they're attacked by snowballs.
You get a lot of homework? Huh? Do you have any friends? Do you have a best friend? Does he have a big coat too?
Go away!
Ow!
We better get out of here.
You know what? We can take them. Okay, just start making as many snowballs as you can. You ready? Let's go. Oh.
One got away.
Snowball.
Wow. Where did you say you were from?
Where did you say you were from? Well, fulfillment comes from finding your purpose and using your gifts for that purpose. So you need to figure out what God made you for and then do it.
Dad, I gotta talk to you.
Michael, what is it?
Buddy ran away.
What?
He left a note. I'm scared, Dad. He's gone.
Let me just finish this meeting and then we'll figure it out, okay?
Figure out what? Buddy cares about everybody. All you care about is yourself.
Last week, one of our staff members received this email from a member of Bright. This is absolutely one Christmas I will never forget. I organized a drive to raise the funds to get a senior age couple in our church a car as theirs had died. People were so loving and willing to give, and I managed with God's help to help them find a really nice car within the budget that we raised. They will have a nice set of wheels this Christmas. No one could possibly give me a present to top that feeling. What a wonderful feeling. I'm living proof that God doesn't need perfect people. He just needs people who are available. Isn't that great? Thanks to all who helped and contributed. It's right to celebrate that. That's great news. God is not so concerned with your ability as He is with your availability. When our daughter Jennifer was 8, she needed money to take to school to buy Secret Santa gifts for the family. If you're not familiar with the Secret Santa program, here's how it works. You send your child to school with $10 for each family member, and he or she will buy a gift, selecting what they want to give their siblings and parents. And then in return, you receive an item with a retail value of about $3 in exchange for the $10 that you sent to the school. Well, Jen came home from school that day with my Secret Santa gift, and she cautioned me, "You better open it right now. It might spoil." I had never known the Secret Santa gifts to be perishable, but not wanting to take a chance, I went ahead and opened her gift right then. And do you know what her gift box to me contained? Soap on a rope. I don't think there was too much danger in the soap spoiling. You know what I think? I think she was so excited and so eager to give her gift that she couldn't wait. Oh, if we all could be more like that. Jesus expressed it in Acts 20, verse 35. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So let's review. We want to remember that joy is a decision despite difficulties, that the joy is a discovery gained when serving. And the third reminder for us today is that joy is a direct result of loving unconditionally. In Elf, Buddy loved all, no matter how they treated him.
Hey, what's your name? My name's Buddy. Someone need a hug.
There's an adage in psychology that hurting people hurt people. And that's encapsulated in the poem Anyway, written by Kent Keith. He wrote, "People are unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you are successful, you will win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. What you spent years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. People really need help, but may attack you if you help them. Help people anyway. Give the world the best you have, and you'll get kicked in the teeth. Give the world the best you have anyway. I agree with the quote that says, often those who deserve love the least need love the most. Buddy extended love even when others didn't respond in love.
What?
I can't go to sleep unless I get tucked in.
What?
I can't go to sleep unless I get tucked in.
I am not going to tuck you in.
I promise I'll go right to sleep.
Sorry. Hey, you just lay there and go to sleep.
Okay. Okay.
Dad? I love you. Okay. Go to sleep now.
Joy comes from loving others unconditionally, whether they respond or not. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will soften their hearts and they will change.
I don't care where you go. I don't care that you're an elf. I don't care that you're nuts. I don't care that you're my son. Get out of my life now.
I'm sorry I ruined your lives and crammed 11 cookies into the VCR.
I don't belong here. I don't belong anywhere. I'll never forget you. Love, Buddy.
Buddy, there's something I have to tell you right now. I didn't mean anything I said back there, not a word. I know you may be a little chemically imbalanced, but you've been right about a lot of things. I don't want you to leave. You're my son, and I love you.
The result of loving unconditionally. Dale Galloway tells a story about a young boy who wasn't well accepted at school. He tried to make friends, but the other kids never included him. As Valentine's Day approached, he announced that he was going to make a Valentine for every child in his class. This broke his mother's heart, for she knew it was unlikely that her son would receive any Valentines from the other kids. He got out the paper and the scissors and the glue, and he set to work, and he made a card for each child in his class. Then he lugged the cards to school on Valentine's Day to hand out to the other kids. That afternoon, his mother planned to bake some warm cookies and have them ready along with a glass of cold milk to console him for what she knew was inevitable. As he came walking across the yard, she saw that both of his hands were empty. And when he came to the door, the first words out of his mouth were, "Not a one, not a one." And she said, "Here, honey, I've baked some cookies for you. I didn't forget a one. I gave one to everybody," he said with a smile. Life doesn't have to be perfect to have joy. Buddy spread the news of Santa, and we need to be spreading the good news of Jesus. Buddy's concern was for people to know Santa. Santa, I know him. Our concern is for people to know Jesus. My concern this morning is, do you know him? Buddy's passion was for everyone to know that Santa was coming, and our passion is for everyone to know that Jesus is coming back and for all of us to be ready for his return. Are you living each day longing for his return, anticipating it, expecting it, prepared for it? For he will return. Are you ready for his return? You can be. As we sing this final song, you're invited to come to the front, and one of our team will guide you to the Next Steps room where you can speak privately and learn how to be ready for Christ's return. Please stand as we worship.